Okay, you already have about an hour meditation, huh? So hopefully you have some form of meditation to report, huh? So that we can continue with our Q&A, huh? And meditation reporting. We have until 12 o'clock before we break for lunch, huh? About 1 hour, 15 minutes like that, huh? Okay, now the mic is here. Anybody wants to report meditation? Ponchi, yes.
Brother Teo?
Yeah, yes.
Okay, the mind settled down.
Okay.
But I can see it trying to come up very fast because yes, the one thing to know is so strong.
Yes, yes, yes.
So each time it comes up, I pull it down. It settles down. Again, it comes up. Okay, so it goes on and off very often.
Very good. No, at least now you are aware of Sankara. How does Sankara arise? Like you say, wanting to know. You got it? Who wants to know? Who wants to know? The thought through ignorance as avijja. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara. Not understanding the truth, the wisdom haven't stabilized, there is ignorance, the Buddha said. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the Dhamma, of the truth. Like Four Noble Truth. Then, what the mind do? If I want to know, I want to experience, I think, understand? And this has been so habitual for so long. Then like Sui An saw, later you will saw. You say, very fast. You let it down, then come out again. Let it down, like you cannot have any power over it. Why? Because you have a consciousness that is trapped in the body. Then most of the time your consciousness is at the brain. And you have been thinking a lot until you become habitual tendency. Like now, Brother Tay, he knows. So he tried to bring his awareness to the body, to the leg, so that it will not allow this habitual tendency or heedless thinking to continue, so that he can have more moment of awareness of the kaya, the form. When you are aware of the form, you cannot think. But because of this heedlessness, the five mental hindrance, because it's not rooted out, because your spiritual faculty are not strong and stable, it will condition the heedless thinking again because there is a habitual tendency behind. Like you say, that wanting to know is so strong. Wanting to know means what? There is a craving, there is a desire to think. That's why when avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara make contact, that's why this consciousness and sankhara come out. Then it condition mental consciousness, vijnanam. Then vijnanam, you input the content very fast, like Sui An said, nanosecond, inside it. Because your views, your opinion, go in already. Then you react. That's why five aggregate of form and mind arise, mental. Then depending on that, contact must be there. That's why sense basis must be there. And because of sense basis, your senses are open. So every contact give rise to sankhara, give rise to feeling. So when contact arise, feeling arise, sankhara arise, it will condition craving. Because your sankhara don't have right view. The habitual tendency continue to condition you. Your views and your opinion continue to condition you. So that's why the dependent origination keep on flowing. So you cannot stop. So what you should do is, you should go back to your breathing. Like you say, you settle down very calm, very peaceful. You feel it peaceful because you don't experience the sankhara and the thought like before. Before, you actually think a lot, you carry a lot. But compared to that thinking, now it's less. Because you got nothing to do, you just settle down, relax. And you become more calm, more calm. That's how you say you settle down. Then when you settle down, you look. Then you realize this thought still there. You didn't really settle down. Completely. Means you didn't reach a state of silent stillness. That one take a while. That's why you have to be very patient. So what you do? You develop awareness. When you aware, you cannot think. So either go back to the breathing, if you are familiar, or rising, falling, yeah, from here, then stay there. When you stay there, the consciousness is there, the awareness is there. Here, less consciousness, less thinking. And then you start to understand. As you do this more and more, you decondition the heedless thinking, because you are just aware. Or you do the mind sweeping method, is just feel, relax, feel, relax. You don't think anymore. So if you don't allow the mind to think for a period of time, let's say 15 or 20 minutes, or even half an hour, then it deconditions the heedless thinking. Then you realize there is no momentum to think. Then there is peace. That's why you can like suddenly feel different, calm. And then when you allow this to continue, then all of a sudden you realize you no need to do anything. The original state of mind come back. And then suddenly you experience a type of stillness, a type of silence, where there is no sankhara, no thought. That can only happen when you have the spiritual faculty, because your faith very strong, your saddha virya very strong, then your mindfulness stabilized already. Then wherever you put your mind, it's aware. It's no more thinking. So if you go to your object of meditation, when you are aware of breathing, you cannot think. So that's how you stabilize it. Then after that, you're silent. If you continue to do awareness, anapanasati, you cannot develop the wisdom much. Because your awareness is at the breathing. You cannot be aware of the senses, although they come, but you are not aware clearly. So later on, the breathing will become very subtle, like no more breathing. Then you continue to stay there and silent. If your mind settle down and become like very quiet, suddenly very still, then pasati. Pasati is what? Tranquility, stillness of mind without thought. That is the silent mind. That is the meditative mind. That one, after that, no need object of meditation. Then you realize, no more breathing also no problem. You can stay there, aware. Then you patient enough, you don't do anything. This subtle breathing, you start to detect it like it's a movement. People cannot feel it, but because your mindfulness has become more refined, the higher mindfulness, then you start to feel, no? Little or no breathing, but the thing is magnified, no? Like internal breathing. No? And they're very short on. You're fully aware, the mind, the awareness is fully aware, no thought on. Then you become very calm, very still. And then I say, if you move, every movement is magnified. Because your mindfulness has reached a more high, refined level, it's like continuous. So, then you want to come out. Your body, you can feel, there's a flow. So, like the two is together. During that time, you can meditate. Then what you should do is, after that, no need the object of meditation. You just silent and go to the heart. Because this is the seat of consciousness. So, this is the source of consciousness. The life force come, pump the heart, then from here it becomes conscious. When you receive the life force, these are energy. You can use it a few ways. And most of them use it in the thinking, in the consciousness. That's why you feel very tired when you do that. But if you know how to use this energy later on, you can actually stay silent. And allow this life force to come, then you just cut it off. Actually, you can cut out. You just, no need to go to the sense basis. Then you just switch off here. Because in the early day, I did it before. It's just away, gone. Away, gone. Then that life force consciousness, most of it goes into your heart. Go, because you haven't found the gateway. So your heart here become very, very different. It start to open up. It starts to develop the energy field. But this is pure energy because it's awareness, no thought. Understand? No yin, no yang one. Not like the other one, one-pointedness or the kundalini one. You go use your thought to send energy there. Understand? To develop the chi at the tanya. It's totally there. This one is silent and just aware. And then when you stay there, this is like your anchor. Understand? Initially, you need an anchor because you don't know that this mind you have trained and developed pasati has entered what they call mindfulness itself. Means the mind is already in sati most of the time. Means this mind actually is already mindful. Wherever you place it, it is already mindful. Later you will come to know But initially you anchor it to the heart there so that it stay there. Then anywhere which sandal arise, it will be aware. At that time, the awareness is different. You will see a lot of things. You will understand. You will understand all the Buddha Dhamma, the dependent origination, the Four Noble Truths, the Three. All you see them. That's why the four foundation of mindful keep on moving. Because that awareness, which is the silent mind, which is the meditative mind, is always either with the kaya in your heart there. You can feel the heartbeat. You can feel whatever vibration. That's why the whole thing is like in a state of flux. You can feel your whole body is in vibration. Then as you allow it to be and continue to relax and don't think, all this vibration will slow down until your heartbeat like slow down until like very subtle, like no heartbeat. Then you become very calm, very peaceful, very still. And during that state, you actually can become enlightened as a because through that, if your condition is right, this mind can cease. Understand? And then you can have a glimpse of Nibbana. Then automatically change your lineage, you pass through already. This one is during a formal meditation in a retreat because your senses are all not active except thinking. Understand? Hearing, yes, but not much because you are not in an active mode living life. So what you should do is just be aware, then train this awareness until it reaches the silent mind capacity. And then after that, use it to be aware of what is going on within your own form of mind. When you are inside, don't try to know anything. Just silent. After you've gone through the whole phenomena that arise and pass away and all things, when you are really silent and aware, when you come out of it, you will understand a lot of things. Then you will reflect, contemplate the Dhamma like that. Just now I have the silent mind when I do, yeah, I saw this coming. And that is the awareness without the thought saw or no. Means the dependent origin is without words or no. And then you understand what the Buddha mean by avijja, paccaya sankhara. Like what you witnessed just now. The one thing to know is so strong, and condition you to think, condition you to arise sankhara.
Okay. Very strong because yes. I have a very the tendency.
No, because
think
you
most of the time.
You inquire through thought.
Very true.
You didn't inquire through awareness, sati. You didn't really understood what contemplation is. Contemplate is not active thinking. When you are silent, when you are alone, when you are in a tranquil setting, very peaceful, nothing disturb you, that you free your mind of anything because you just want to be aware. Then you want to develop understanding of Dhamma. And then you inquire, first noble truth, second turning. Why the Buddha said dukkha is to be understood. Understand? And then you understand. Through the reflection, sure, if I don't understand dukkha, I suffer without understanding, how can I deal with dukkha? I cannot come out of it. Okay, then you ask yourself, if that is the case, the second question is, how can I understand? Answer now. First one is, why did the Buddha say that? Then you know the answer. Then now you ask, how can I understand? To understand, I must reflect on the First Noble Truth here. What did the Buddha say? What is suffering? Birth. So you ask, how can I understand? Why Buddha say birth is suffering? And then while you contemplate, you throw out this inquiry, then your this silent mind, which is the meditative mind, will reflect. Then through memory, it will slowly, without the active thinking, recall everything that you know about birth. Understand? And then as you go through, that creative mind will understand, oh, no wonder birth is suffering. Baby come out, cry already. Before baby come out, the morning signal, then you start to understand. Then with the arising of birth, suddenly you realize the dependent origin, wherever there is birth, there is this form of mind that will go through old age, sickness and death. And this one will be suffering if I don't have the wisdom. And then you understand. Then you look at old age, you reflect, contemplate, again you will go through your grandparent, your parent, then now your turn, we are not young. And then you start to see your body not like before. As you decay and age, this body goes the way of nature. It becomes more weak, more fragile, I have more problem. Like Brother Kang, the leg swollen. So this is part of reality of this form. If I reflect and contemplate, I accept the reality. Means what? The body will go this way. Not only me subject to it. Every living being has to go through. So I have a choice. React and become miserable, or accept and do what I have to do. Understand? Need to allow it to rest, need to seek medical attention, treatment, or need somebody to do something to help it. I try, but I don't attach. Understand? Means what? When I accept this reality, means when it has this swollen and difficult to walk, the consciousness trapped inside will feel it. Understand? That's why they say old age is dukkha. Understand? But when you have awareness, body sick, you can accept, you don't allow it to condition emotion and fear and unhappiness, then mind is not dukkha, understand not? The mind that has the wisdom and understand don't have to be sick. Like the Buddha said, when your body is sick, mind need not be sick. But people's problem is, when body is sick, consciousness arise, they attach and cling and grasp, they react, they become doubly sick, understand not? Not only physically sick, mentally also sick, also miserable. That's how people got all the suffering. Then you start to understand, wow, the Buddha really beautiful. The wisdom really. Then finally you will hit the five aggregate of form and mind, the final suffering. Then you inquire again, you reflect. So this one is, don't have active thinking on. So you have to reverse the way you, because I know you read a lot, you very intellect, and you like to reason, and so on. Because you use reasoning. That's why people who use a lot of reasoning, Krishnamurti say, you are analytical. You analyze a lot. Spirituality cannot analyze one. Who analyze? Who analyze? The thought analyze. When thought analyze, it cannot understand the truth and the reality that is beyond thought, beyond mind. So spirituality is about consciousness, pure awareness, silent mind, no thought one. So the instrument you use is wrong, that's why you will do the wrong contemplation. And you cannot understand because you have not trained your mind to be in that state of silent awareness. That's why four foundations of mindfulness is all about sati. After you train in anapana sati, then you move into four posture, then sati sampajana. Mindfulness and clear comprehension of all action. All movement in the breath. That's why my teacher said this is the highest meditation. Where he went through, he also realized this one gives a lot of insight. Then when the initial insight comes, then only you can move to contemplate this body as a four element, as the 32 part, as the 9 stages of 7-3 decomposition. And all this has a purpose. But once you have sati, the initial wisdom comes, then very easy to contemplate. And so, then everything, the condition arising, all you see in your awareness, meditation. Then your defilement, you see, your mental intention, your selfish and internal. Last time you don't look inside. You every time look outside, because your senses are all outside. Understand? So the mind that goes out can never understand inside. Your outside is consciousness with the thought. Understand? The five mental aggregate of form and mind. If you play with this five aggregate of form and mind rampantly, if you use thought like what you have been doing before, then you become heedless. You think by reasoning, analysis, through thought, you can develop wisdom. No, you develop knowledge. Understand? So that's why meditation is the complete opposite of knowledge. It is understanding wisdom, understanding through awareness, which is higher than thought. Then you start to see thought limited, thought divine. Thought creates such delusion and attachment because it's egoic. That's why it has selfishness. You believe that it's you, sakayadity, self-delusion. And then the personality, the ego, definitely automatically want to own thing and have thing. That's why selfishness, craving, attachment, covetousness, all come already. Then because he think he exists, thing that make him unhappy or her unhappy, he will react. That's why there is anger, emotional negativity. That's the second evil. And the third one is what? Because of delusion, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety, there is insecurity. You're your top project. You are not with the moment. You don't know the reality of life is only in the moment, not in the past and the future. But thought through memory can recall the future. thought through projection can project into the future. So memory, when you recall, the past come out. The past is already gone, dead and gone. But it becomes alive again through your thought. That's why you, if you recall unhappy event, because you see somebody remind you of last time, the phobia or the problem, then there is fear, there is insecurity, then there is sadness. That's why thought has this power to condition you into misery. Then you project into the future, which is not a reality yet, there is fear, there is worry, there is anxiety. The question is, what if? What if they come to know? What if my employer know about it and sack me? And then there is fear. But it's not a reality. That is what your thought projects. You should deal with the reality of the moment and resolve that with wisdom and understanding. Accept that whatever happened already happened. That's the reality. I cannot go and change. So I need to move. Move means what? I need to develop the understanding of my clarity to act. I act with noble info power. And then what happened? When I act with noble info power, I got no fear. If I make a mistake, I apologize. I become sincere. I don't try to do all those deceitful and deviant things to cover my mistake. And then the nature's law, through law of karma, will not hit back. And then you realize, once you make a decision, you move. If you don't make decision, it will continue to be a problem. It will continue to make you miserable and fearful. Because you don't want to make decision. You very scared people know, and yet you don't want to make decision. Especially in the office, when you are under pressure to deliver, to do things, or in the home, when you have certain things that you're very scared, what happened if my husband come to find out? What happened if my wife come to find out? Then you live in constant fear. But you dare not resolve it by making a decision and be honest about it and move. Then you check, it's because you got this, what they call negativity, you broke some precept, then you fear that your wife or your husband will come to find out. That will make you restless. You like totally cannot be peaceful. Then people can see your face. You're not normal. No? You got problem. Then you're very scared. What happens if they find out? Then all these are thought projection, not a real. The reality is, what am I doing? My life is supposed to be like the Buddha say, Anakaraniya Metta Sutta, upright. Means what? I don't violate the morality, the moral code, the precept. So if I make a mistake, I cut it off. How to cut it off? Resolve it amicably. Make it clear to people that you already married, you have a family. Please, I cannot do this. I am not going to allow my selfishness, my desire, my craving to put my whole family into jeopardy. And then, that is the decision. Once you decide like that, no more problem. And then you can be honest with your wife and your spouse. Then you got no more problem. The problem is, they don't want to make the decision because out of fear, the thought project, and tell them all sorts of things. If my wife come to fire, he will not let me free. Hell may break loose. Or if my husband come to know, I think he will be very, very angry and this. This is what thought has no power to make you fearful when you project. Then when you recollect the past, it can have the power to make you miserable, unhappy. So when you start to understand all this through your meditation, then you realize it's only the thought. Who give it power? Like Krishnamurti said. Because the egoic mind through delusion give it power. The evil root will not arise if there is no delusion. After I have taught you, if you realize that it is only form and mind, so sankhara come out, so what? Your form and mind with delusion, habitual tendency of all this, it will come out. So I only need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty, so that it will overcome the hindrance, so that I will develop sati. But with faith and virya, sati will come. And when sati come, the heedless thinking, the sankhara, all slowly, slow down and finally cease. That's why you can reach past sati, the silent mind, the meditation. With that, when you meditate, totally different. No more thought-based. Awareness be. That's why brother Teo, brother Teo now understand. He moved the consciousness to the leg. Then I say anchor it to your body, lower portion. Just aware, body and mind. Yeah. You do this until it become a new conditioning, then the thinking here become less. Then I told him, sooner or later, you can be aware of the body. Means when your awareness is anchored to the kaya, it cannot think. So if you can maintain more and more awareness, continuity of awareness, then you realize the thinking almost slow down until like you seldom think. So from heedless living, you transform into heedful living. And you can do it in the retreat. That's why I want you to see the difference between heedless living and heedful living. Then you realize one is so peaceful, so tranquil, and so beautiful, and can allow you to understand so many things. The other one is thought-based, knowledge, make you miserable, restless, get yourself entangled. You give so much meaning to your thinking, your thought, then everything becomes real, understand? My loved one, my possession, my career, my reputation, my all this that the Buddha talked about in the first Noble Truth Reality. Then you say, my body, my feeling, like Brother Kang go through old age sickness, feeling unhappy, negative feeling, unpleasant feeling. Then the thought that is caught in it without understand become miserable, become afflicted. So this is how suffering comes to be. You don't know how to use form and mind. If you know how to use, you use and you live life. You don't have to worry about life and complain about life. All these are your wrong thought, your delusion. So when you got no more delusion, you're free. So with this understanding, you should start to straighten your view. Then apply right effort to constantly abandon the wrong thought. Well, you know, wrong thought is what? I already advise you. Wrong thought is what? Condition your fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, and negativity. Every time it makes you unhappy, miserable, or lack of peace, then you know it's wrong thought. Then why you still think the thought? Means you don't know how you suffer. You allow that thought to torment you. Means you don't know how to use thought. The use of thought is deluded. That's why it uses thought to harm itself, hurt itself through wrong thought, wrong thinking. That's how human beings suffer and become miserable. If you straighten your view, then you tell yourself, hey, it's only a thought. Why am I so stupid? If I don't believe the thought, I just have to abandon it, right effort. Then later on, when I'm more mindful, I can prevent it from arising. And then I realize this wrong thought, less and less, less. And this is how you purify your thought. From sila visuddhi, means purification of morality, you go into citta visuddhi, purification of the citta, the thought. Then after that, your views will be different. Ditti visuddhi. This seven stages of purification, you have to do this first three. Purify your morality. Means you keep your precept. You know why you must keep precept. Then purify your thought so that your right view will come about. Then when you have more and more right thought, means you have straightened your view and know that this thought brings about goodness, harmony, peace, understanding. And this is how you use your thought. Use it appropriately to arise the right thought so that it is very peaceful, very calm, a lot of understanding, a lot of harmony. Then right thought condition, right speech, good and gentle, pleasant speeches and so on, that can help you to resolve issue and problem. Then right thought condition, love and compassion. No more selfishness, no more evil root. So all this you will see in the meditation, then you understand. And you reflect, contemplate, then you determine, why I so stupid all this while? The Dhamma already is so clear, but nobody tell me it's not me. I only know anatta, not me. But I don't know what is anatta, anatta. Because this five aggregate of form and mind got two aspects, the form and mind. The first aggregate, first aspect. Then after that, you got the mental five aggregate, the same. And then you apply the same inquiry. How you get yourself entangled? Is the Buddha's final summary correct? The Buddha summarizes, in short, it is through your delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling at all these five aggregate of form, the mental one, that he called dukkha or suffering. Like your morning chant. Rupang anicchang means what? all of rupa form, physical and external form, they are conditioned arising impermanent. So why do I deludedly hold? And not real, not me. Then rupa anatta, they are all empty. If they are empty and non-self, then why you still gullibly cling and hold and thinking that there is a person, and you still have this desire to become selfish, desire to have craving. You still react with anger and emotional negativity. You still allow your thought to make you fearful through projection and recall, memory. And then you start to realize that is really stupidity. That is really what the Buddha meant by ignorance. So meditation is to allow you to see all this, but you need to have awareness, mindfulness. Okay? Sadhu. Yeah, brother.
Brother, you instructed us to be aware of everything we do every day. So
every action and every movement.
Yeah. So yesterday afternoon, because I feel tired. So when I meditate, I rock. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
And I allow it to rock.
Yeah.
Because but I'm aware that I'm rocking.
Correct.
So after rocking for some time, then I open my eye a little bit to stabilize it.
It's okay, you can open your eye. Because when you have an attention through the seeing consciousness, then it can stabilize the physical body. It's okay. Because sometimes people close the eye too long, they got this feeling like the body is swaying, or the body moving forward. Sometimes it's the mind that creates the effect. But sometimes it's really moving because you develop energy. And you don't know how to control and release this energy. You don't know how to use this energy. So the moment you silence your mind, energy build up. The moment you do something like anapanasati, energy build up. The moment you focus, energy build up. Because wherever you put your consciousness, the life force energy go there. That's why you build up the energy there. Okay, continue.
Another aspect is when I'm concentrating on anapanasati, so the mind is calm.
Very
you know
calm.
What happened? I can hear, when people move around here.
Yeah, very clear.
But the noise is very clear, like very near.
Like
next
very
to me, you know.
Magnify.
Yeah.
Because when you are in awareness, the nature listens, not the conscious thought. The conscious thought is clouded by thinking. Then you don't really listen. It's just like when you silence your mind, everything, then you're very attentive. You remember middle of the night? When you want to hear something, you got to attentive. Attentive means you don't think. You just allow your senses to be free. Then you can hear clearly. But if you are not attentive, attentive is the silent mind. Silent. Then your senses is open. Then you can feel. You can actually become conscious. But the moment you use your thought and try to, using this thought to listen, you find that it's very difficult. Not so clear. But you silent. Means don't even arise your thought, any of your senses, just silent. And then allow that senses to be free. Are there anything that impinge the consciousness that arises very clear? Because your awareness is there. That's not. So meditation is like that. Attention is awareness. When you pay attention without thought, it's awareness. Like you listen attentively, no thought going on. It's just like you attend a lecture. When you are very attentive, you don't think on it. You listen and absorb everything that the teacher say on it. But if you got a view and an opinion, what happened? I don't think right lah. The teacher teach like that. Then what happened? You are preoccupied with these views and opinion. And then you don't hear already. That's not. Even when you write note, also same. Because you are busy writing note, Then how can you hear? That's why you have to multitask. You try to hear, you try to write note. That's why I say don't write, all in the notes. You listen, attentively listen. Through your heart is the best. But you don't know how to listen through your heart. Most of you listen through your brain because the knowledge is here. You need the knowledge to interpret my word. Later on, I tell you, you're very surprised. You can listen through your heart. the heart can also listen. But initially, like, there's a break, no? There's no connection, I remember. No connection. Because the memory is here, the knowledge is here. Then when you listen from here, it's more of the awareness. But because you move up very fast. But when I have more and more moment of awareness, then I realize this one not connected. No? I just listen to whatever. No? There is only vibration going in. No? Then I will be very surprised. No? This vibration that go in later on can make me understand. No? Especially when I receive all those pure energy and whatever energy that I was able to receive. Then sometimes you like no more listening, you're just silent. Then everything that go in the vibration, because vibration through consciousness is awareness, and awareness is already intelligent. Understand? That's why it can give you wisdom. You don't have to use your thought. Understand? That's why that pure energy that all these great beings give to you is to help you develop this stability of mindfulness so that it is very clear, very stable, so that it can help you open up internally. Understand? Pure energy is required to open the internal chakra so that you become more sensitive. You become more aware. Okay?
This morning, about 4 o'clock, okay, so Brother Khan wake up, go to the toilet. So I knew about it, and I was aware, and when he come out from the toilet, I was for the toilet. Okay. After that, I lie down again because it's too early.
Yeah, very early.
I lie down again and I was fully aware.
Yeah, very good.
At the same time, I rest. Okay. As I rest, I adjusted my body.
You know when you adjust your body, what happened?
What happened is that
your body?
My body, it seems it want to take more air. So I breathe. It seems my lungs expand.
Yeah.
And then I take more air, and as I breathe in more air to fill my lung, the energy follow inside. Most of them park in my heart. Some go to the lung, go to the
because
palm.
You got energy. Your anapanasati is very good.
And I put my palm on my lung, and then. And then the whole body seemed to be
moving.
Energy. And then I adjusted.
I know.
You know what happened? After the bell was ring, the drum, it's 5 o'clock already. So I wake up. I have a very nice rest. I never had this blind stress for a long time.
You never have this type of night where you are most of the time aware. Understand?
Yeah.
Because all fully this aware. Movement, you are fully aware. That's why he didn't really sleep. No. Understand? Yeah, there's awareness inside. So I teach you how to stabilize that and do that. You see, when you go to bed, mindfully go there. Then as you sit, you aware of how you sit. Then as you turn into the bed, you aware of how you lie down. Then while you do this, if you multitask, you will take your blanket in there. Well, you need blanket to keep yourself warm. Then how your hand move, how it touch your blanket, then how you roll it over. Later on, when it's stabilized, it's like a flow. Then even when you sleep, the first instant is you are in the lying down posture. Then what you do? What you do? Huh? You just sleep. I see. How to meditate? How you meditate? Tell me. You cannot sleep, you go to the breath. You can sleep, you stabilize the anapanasati. No need to go anywhere. Just aware. Just like what he did. Consciousness and the body as one. Then after that, you want to check the heartbeat, there, the heartbeat is there, stay there. Then you can just silent. Otherwise, you can want to feel anything at your leg or what, the awareness go. Then you know. All those things, sometimes you sleep, you have to turn because the gas got to release, isn't it? Certain direction only you release, otherwise it trapped inside. So I will know, then I turn. I very mindful, body and mind turn. Then I will know, at that point, your father is brrr. Sometimes you can just let it be, then no need to use any exertion or energy. And then it come out slowly. Means naturally, through physics, it will just come out. The pressure release itself when it can release. And then you start to feel, it's so different. No? When you force it out and you naturally allow it to come out, It's like you fully mindful of the whole process of even fatting. That's the answer nature's call doing all this. You can be aware. Understand? Then when you are able to do that, I tell you, later on you come down. Your daily mindfulness become different. Everything you do, you walk, you breathe, body and mind always one. Then you turn, you whatever. Like you do the exercise, the Tai Chi. The mindfulness is with the movement, not thought on. You hardly have any thought. That is how I do. And that is how, when he sleep, he used to anapanasati, so aware. He become very calm, very peaceful. Then he can be aware inside. But he got a little bit of energy inherited. So when he put the palm, your palm got energy. He got do some qigong, reiki. So he can tap energy, and internal energy also can radiate out. He can also radiate reiki energy to people to heal, if they want to. So all these are thought based. That's why when he put at the lung area, it start to vibrate. Because there is no gateway. Then he doesn't know how to silence and be aware. So when these things start to vibrate, I teach you how to stabilize. Don't panic, or don't even get excited or what, just silent. Allow it to be. And when you silent, the silent mind actually can draw the energy and convert it into pure energy. Even before the gateway come out. And then the pure energy, just you aware what? No yin, no yang. The energy is transformed to the awareness. And the awareness can initially stay at your heart area. That you will develop this ability to open up your heart area. That's why after that you become very sensitive with energy. Then all the higher being, the cultivator, ever radiating for the cultivator, you will receive. That's why your heart must open. Otherwise you cannot cultivate. Wisdom cannot go in. It is the heart, which is the gateway, which is the what they call seat of consciousness. I always tell you the heart is very important. But this is where the heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness, like the Buddha said. You become conscious from here, and that's the pulse. Then this is the life force that sends all the blood through your whole entire organ and all that. And because consciousness is together with the blood, that's why you can feel at every point where your blood goes. So you will come to understand all this. Otherwise, how can you feel? A dead man don't feel. Where dead man blood don't flow. Then there is no consciousness. Understand? So this is how, when you slowly develop the meditation, you will understand. Very good. Sadhu to you. still got report. Good. Continue.
So when I come back to the meditation hall, I feel my heart has a lot of energy.
Yes.
So what happened? I try to read it out.
Metta. Very good.
I didn't do it in the past one. So I try, I do it. You know what happened? When I start to read it to my loved one, to this hall, all the people here.
You feel very good inside.
I feel the energy expand.
Yeah, expand. You come out. Then you have a very good feeling.
Really.
No, because you know why? When you say, may all beings within this vicinity or Kayanamita be well and happy, then you slowly transfer that radiation to your heart. Means from here, you really wheel it out. Initially, you will wheel it out. Then you wheel it out because you're sincere. You can feel the words. The word will condition you to have that metta inside. Then that's why the energy will expand out. Then actually this is very good. This is what they call law of karma. You reap what you sow. When you have kindness, loving kindness and well-being for other beings, then you send it out. This is generosity. Pure thought. Very wholesome. You will receive back this type of pure energy. Then when people radiate loving kindness in future, when you come, you will receive one very strong. Like Ajahn Yantra, Ajahn Gandha. I straight away tap one. Because I have this from the past. I radiate to people. That's why when they radiate, I straight away go. And I know one. I can feel them at town. That's why the heart must open. That's why you must pay respect more. So that there is this energy that points towards the heart. Actually, every time when you aware, means you clasp your hand, means you silent. When you silent, there is an energy from your palm go back to here, the heart here. You can feel it. But when I pay respect mindfully and with faith, every time I feel there's energy going in here during the early day. Then after a while, this one opened up. I didn't know, you know, until when I can feel energy. You know. Because last time I used to hear people, hey, how you feel energy? How come you can feel energy? I don't feel anything like that. You know why? Because you think a lot. And here, you never aware here. And if you never aware here, the chakra here cannot open. Your heart cannot open. So when you use pure awareness or sati to feel it and allow it to open, you are not tampering with thought, no. Because sati is awareness without thought. So when you're aware, that energy will draw to you. That's why when you have awareness, you tap a lot of energy. You become like charged up. Then you're very sensitive one. Totally different type of meditation. Yeah. That's why if there is no condition, I cannot explain all this. You must report. Understand?
I say one more thing to report.
Okay. So
those 6 morning meditation at night, I go into a very calm state by Parasati. So after some time, I was thinking, why don't I pay attention to Anapanasati?
Correct.
So what happened? Then when I just leave it alone, the breathing, I'm still aware of the breathing.
I know.
So what happens is I can see the thoughts coming out.
Oh, very good.
And I let it go. And then I see.
Don't resist. Don't resist.
Pictures, no?
The mental picture.
Come and go. Come and go.
This is our perception. You allow it to come out. Don't interfere. Don't suppress. Then you know what happened. He will lose his momentum. That's how. Yeah. Like Krishnamurti said, the very flowering of the thought is the very ending of the thought. Allow it to flower. Because you have been heedless for so long. It's only when you develop anapanasati, when you don't focus on the breathing, means you are not mindful of the breathing, means what? You're aware. That's why you can see all this. That's all.
But Bharatiyos, this thing you go on for about a while, then you subside.
Slow down.
Then you come back again.
Correct. No, because the habitual tendency, not so fast. Not one time, two time, it will disappear. Let it come out.
Yeah.
Then just aware. Don't try to think inside there. If I don't resist, if I don't suppress, if I don't try to do anything, I don't feed it with thought energy, then sooner or later, it will slow down.
I also noticed one thing. This thought and mental picture which come out, when I don't pay attention to it, they are quite blur on.
Yeah,
it's just move
correct. But when you're in concentration, especially those who do jhana in concentration, they will see the picture here very clear. One by one go across. Then some people become gullible. They see this picture like from very ancient time. Then they go and ask people. Then people, this is your past life. You monk, you nun. Forget about what Sankara tell you. If the real message comes from your nature one, it's different one. You will receive it before you wake up. Because when you are about to wake up, that consciousness, all this, they can actually send message to you. And you have the awareness, the message that comes in the form of consciousness will arise like a dream. That one is the real one. Before you wake up. But in between, forget about it. When you are doing all this, forget. Unless you have already developed the wisdom, connect back, then this ability come through a byproduct of your cultivation. Then like the Buddha, the abhinya power, that one is very, very true. And that one, he will know one. It's not through a delusion. But a lot of the disciples who have the psychic ability, you cannot trust. Because psychic, sometimes you don't understand. The mind condition thing out for you to see. The Mara interfere. And you go and interpret all those things. You get yourself more deluded and get into trouble. That's why sometimes you have to be very careful with meditation. Very good. Anything else? Sadhu. Then pass to Padmasuri.
Brother Teo, this morning meditation, I started with metta. Then after that, I go into anapanasati.
Good.
Then I feel...
energy.
I'm aware there's energy.
Okay.
In my body, there's energy moving around. Huh? Because I do qigong, so I'm aware,
yeah.
So I just aware of it.
Yes, yes.
But then I feel another one on the
yeah,
the
on the head.
Of,
on top.
But the head moving. But these two cannot connect.
Definitely.
Because
one is
qigong qi. I don't understand
qi.
What is it.
No, one is qigong qi. One is consciousness energy build-up. Understand? Understand?
So
what you train in qigong is the qigong qi.
I noticed that
so
one
these two doesn't mix.
Yes. This, I noticed it, the qigong qi, if I want to activate it, I
definitely,
can
you can actually release or send to Tan Tian or whatever. Understand? But that one, because it's a new development, your anapanasati. Anapanasati develop one is a different energy field. Understand? It's mindfulness. Okay. The two can only come together in harmony where you don't resist. But you have to relax. The key thing is relax. Very good. It brings about condition to help you. A lot of people are trapped in energy. Trapped in the meditative. Can I rub something? This one can rub. Huh? Can rub or not? Nobody near. Huh? Just now, what was it that I'm about to explain to you? I cannot remember. Yeah, after that I say something. Relax. That was... The key to understanding all these things and breaking all these things is relax. Remember? The first of the four. Understand? And a lot of people don't know how to relax. Trap. Because they want to play with energy. They want to have kung fu. Understand? Then they focus, they concentrate. Then nimitta come out, or energy build out, then push, jhana, everything. Oh, then they're very excited. Never experienced before. Other people don't have one. Whoa, you have. And then you get trapped. So you must relax. When you relax, what happens? You don't send it any more thought energy. You don't allow the energy field to develop. Understand? But for her case, she plays qigong. And the qi is already inside where he built it up. Then he can see the qi flowing. But when you do anapanasati, what happens? You are mindfulness of in and out breath. And that one create another type of energy, you know, which is not the normal qigong qi, you know. That one go to the forehead, you know. That's why up here. It's a different energy. So she realized, you know, because this is not normal qigong qi. These two like cannot mix or no. So what you do, you relax. When you relax, your anapanasati also will become different. You just allow the breathing to be naturally. And at that time, your breathing will not be heavy. Your breathing will not be long. Then this anapanasati energy will not be strong. And then when you allow it to be, then all of a sudden you become very quiet, very peaceful, full of awareness. And because you relax, your qigong qi also starts to become more and more refined, more and more quiet, more and more peaceful. And then all of a sudden, the two can match, can flow. And then you become like yin-yang, balance again. Relax. Then maintain awareness. Then your awareness, like, brother, you must allow this awareness to become the silent mind. Understand? When your anapanasati stabilizes already, then after that, when you relax, you don't go and forever do anapanasati. You know? When you are doing anapanasati, it means what? You're supposed to train your mind to develop. Then when you stabilize, don't go and play with it anymore. Understand? Like rising falling. Don't think that every time you at the rising falling, you are meditating. You think that it's vipassana. No. The Buddha say what? After that, you do four posture. Understand? Means develop awareness of four posture. Then everything that you do. So your awareness that time is just silent, like brother. You don't want to focus anymore. Leave the breath out. Then see whether it was silent or not. It was silent by itself. It was like a general awareness. Because you have maintained that mindfulness. And then that one will start to become pasati. If you can, you need to anchor it somewhere initially. Otherwise, this mindfulness will not last long. After that, gone. So you allow it to drop to somewhere around the heart. Then you're silent. And the best anchor is your heartbeat. There you go. then you realize you are aware, fully aware. And the heartbeat, when you're aware, very clear one. When you relax and aware, it will become very clear until it starts to slow down. Initially, like a lot of people report to you, whoa, poopah, poopah, like very violent inside there. But you first time aware of this. That's why I say, doctor needs stethoscope, you don't need one. Because you can feel it. So when you can do that, this mind will start to slow down. We have more and more awareness there. You don't think already. Then your awareness stabilizes. Then you realize that awareness is part of your mind, part of your nature. So the mind enters sati. At that time, you are very different. That is a silent mind. That is the meditative mind. That is what pasati is. Then that one can understand a lot of things. You just anchor at the heart. Every sense thought that arises, conscious, you will see it on. The conscious come out. No words on. Like I told you about the feeling at the leg. No word on. No concept on. You just feel. With the awareness. And then you realize you cannot describe in word unless you want to communicate with people. Then you say, "Whoa, that thing, what? Very difficult to describe one." But that thing that you experience, you will never forget one. It's like sweet sugar put into coffee or milk. You drink before already, no need to explain. But you never drink the coffee with the sugar. You don't try to imagine what it is. You cannot understand. So meditation is like that. Relax, aware, until this one becomes silent mind. Silent mind in pasati. You know what is pasati? Stillness or tranquility of mind. Very tranquil, very still, no movement. That is the meditative mind. This is the mind that has sati. And you use this to meditate, to understand things, it becomes apamada, heedfulness. Okay? Then you have to continue to train and stabilize it in daily mindfulness. Until you can do it almost continuously, 24 hours. Initially is your waking moment. Means when you are conscious. Then later on, you can even go into your sleep. That's how it becomes 24 hours. And then after that, the fourth one is, if you go the bodhisattva way or what, then you do trust. You don't meditate anymore. No? You trust your nature to meditate. Then you detect the gateway. Yes, then let the nature do the meditation. No interference of thought at all. Means you trust your nature because your nature already intelligent. It know what to do. It will even melt the yin-yang energy and convert to pure energy. The moment you use thought, gone. You cannot touch that nature already. You cannot even touch the gateway. The gateway can only be detected when you are completely silent, without thought and aware. Until your wisdom doesn't allow any sankhara to arise. And then you will detect. That's why it's very difficult to find out. If nobody tells you where it is, worse still. We have to go in, you need to be completely silent, without thought. Just relax and aware. Where also you don't know. Even when you can reach that state, you know how to relax and aware. After I finish this first trip, I still, if I were to look for it, it will at least, my nature tell me later, 10 to 15 years. Despite what I inherited. So this one is very important. If you want to go the full way. But if you don't want, stop at 3. Then you will understand. You can become enlightened. You can become even the various stages of sainthood. Sotapan, Sakadagami, Anagami, or Arahant, no problem. Even Pacheka Buddha also you can. The silent Buddha. Okay? Sadhu, sadhu. Another 10 minutes. You got any more reporting?
Brother Chavala, for my walking, Initially, the last few days, I was, when I walked the time, my mind is very heavy, very heavy. But this morning, I will to walk. I feel very light.
Very good. You got less thinking or not?
The thinking did come, but I know.
Just allow it to be. Then you relax, naturally walk. And then it become light, clear. Because last time you try to think, try to focus, you try to be aware. That's why it's heavy. Understand? Yeah. Then when you let things be, there is no focusing there. Not trying to know or trying to do anything. Then you just walk in a relaxed way. Then your body and mind will start to slowly, slowly get into rhythm. But initially, the thinking still a lot. Then as you become more mindful, means your attention is more in the walking and become more natural, body and mind starts to go into a rhythm. That's why you feel light. Wherever you put your consciousness or awareness, it will build up energy there. But if you allow your mind just to be aware of the form, anchor it to the kaya, there is no content of consciousness. It's just awareness of it. It's not like a thought. You understand? That's why the real meditation is not what you think. That's why when you aware, like the Buddha say, you walk, you aware. You stand, you aware. Not trying to note, not trying to find out whether you aware or not. Then don't try to think, no. Don't try to be even very rigid, no. Like walk in a certain way. Am I doing right? All this is the thought. And you can never be aware. That's why I say, go for a walk. Who was the person who tell me? Very difficult to walk. Then after that, go for a walk. If you very relaxed, was it you?
Yeah.
You are the one. That's why now she got it. Then she realized, after she have a relaxed walk, now he go do relaxed walk. No more heavy, very light. Very good. You start, the momentum, the rhythm start to go in already. But you need to stabilize it.
Okay.
Otherwise, you will lose it. Then you don't know how to use it. Daily life, then actually wasted this opportunity or window of retreat. Today, last day already, better do it more and more. No? That's why you walk naturally in a relaxed manner. Continue.
And then
This
morning, when I do the sitting, the time.
Very easy. Much easier.
Much easier. Because other days I'm feeling very pain.
Now only you know. Because you are not relaxed and not mindful. But when you have the sati, you naturally relax. Sati means what? Aware. No thinking. No thinking means what? No problem. No stress. No worry. No anxiety. That's why you are very peaceful. You are not peaceful because you hardly aware. When you're not aware, where are you? Lost in thought. That's why Sister Lian point here. Why you want to go up here? My teacher told me, this is hell. Really, this is hell. Creating five degrees of form and mind, you every time like play with it, you sure get entangled. Because you will cling, you will grab, it will give you so much meaning. And you think all of life is just thought. Like Krishnamurti say, then all the problems arise. You create through your consciousness. Yes. No, nothing to do with education. That's why you don't blame education system. You see, education system, when they give it to you, like Krishnamurti say, you can say it's wrong conventionally. But like thought, it is not thought that is evil, right or wrong. Education is not right or wrong. Even the school, I tell you. A lot of students, my father should have sent me to the best school. If I go there, I should score. Because he sent me to a lousy school. You put the blame on the school. But I can tell you, in the same school, there are top students and bright students. Even in the very famous school, there are lousy students. So it's not the school. The teacher and the school, you cannot decide or not. Your karma will take you. If you're in that school, you have to make do with it. I have seen people from very rural and very ulu school did until very well and came to university. a lot of real life example. I also from Alastair, I don't know, also not so developed a state. Correct. Not only thought based, egoic. You born berset, then after berset, what happened? Papa, mama, teach you how to have relationship. Are this your papa, mama, koko, jeje, or this? So identification with what form? Then after that, go to school. What is your name? Mark attender. Again, that name. Then that condition. Mind, egoic mind, you think that name is you. Then you think the religion they put there is you. So all this is what education teach. But like the school, education is education. When you understand that it's only education, and because of that is knowledge, technological, it's not spiritual, you use thought. But don't be deluded by it. Don't go and accept all this knowledge as the reality that you perceive. And then you get caught. But you have wisdom, like what I went through. I also went through the same education system you are. But I don't blame the education. Before I understand the education like that, I also go through like that. But the funny thing is, I have my past cultivation, my karma. And then I know how to screen now. I know how to go through all this without making myself what it is now. Then later on when the Dhamma connect, I understand that all this education become like my past experiences that allow me to understand the Dhamma more clearly. That I have not gone through, I cannot experience and cannot understand. So you are right, like Krishnamurti said, education system, if it can be improved upon and teach people about life, teach people the spiritual understanding, you know, I was so amazed in 1989 after I understood the Dhamma. I came out with my own understanding. You know. I realized education, if it had changed to the way we understand it through the spiritual understanding, then all the next generation will be very beautiful. You know how I reflect on everything? I say, who am I? What am I? Then I know this 5 degrees from my mind. Then I question one, how do I know the world? How do I interact with the world? You all ever question this or not? You take for granted, how do you know the world? Through your mind, as our mental, through the 5 aggregate of form and mind, through your memory, through your conditioning. So this is how you know the world. What you need is sense basis to trigger of consciousness. Otherwise, you cannot know the world. Then how do you interact with the world? How do you interact? How do you communicate? How do you think? You need the consciousness, the brain. If you don't have wisdom, you cannot live. Then I realize, hey, no wonder the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. So if from young, you have taught them what the Buddha has taught, that this is only form and mind, but this is spiritual understanding or not. Conditioned world need the education, is it not? That's why you must have a name to identify you. But you don't go and believe that that is you. That is identification through what? Through the form, is it not? Through society's convention. And then you realize this is the conditioned world way of cognizing you. And he said, you are a boy, you are Chinese, you are Buddhist. Then later on, you have a name. So all this is identification through whatever your form and your belief system is. And then you become, exists already. Understand? Let's say whatever your name, Lim Akau. Lim Akau exists already. Then the teacher call you, then people call you. Then you become the form and mind become Lim Akau. So you believe you are Lim Akau, then you have an ego. Because sakadity, delusion. And you cannot break free, you will get entangled. That's why you need spiritual understanding later on to see clearly that it's not you, form and mind. But to live in this world, they have this conventional identity. Otherwise, how? Everything non-self don't belong to you. Then you go to God. Huh? You tell the judge, I didn't kill anybody. It's a form of mind. The judge will send you to jail. The law, you kill that form of mind, is killing. So you cannot be so gullible. Then you cannot be say everything anatta, non-self. Yeah? Not me. So I got no name. I'm nothing. Then your money all cannot put in the bank. Society is society. Conditioned world is conditioned world. That's why you must know two aspects of the law that govern. The conditioned world and the unconditioned. When you have these two connected with the wisdom, then only you know how to live. Otherwise, you one-sided one. You become extreme. So we end. 12 o'clock. Oh, you haven't finished. Continue. Sorry.
During my sitting the time, when I was very quiet and slowed down,
good.
Suddenly I can feel a pop sound.
Oh, very good.
Around the
stomach or abdomen area. This is your gas release. This is your gas. Sometimes you can be very sensitive, but inside there, like gas like that release. Then sometimes the food you eat, you mindful, you walk, like you can feel your inside there moving, the liquid going down. Then you can feel inside what the stomach is doing and all that.
It's not the hungry.
No, not hungry. It's the release of gas. Because you aware, like you say, you very calm, very silent. That's why you can hear. Then the internal world become different. You are conscious of your internal world. Then internally, because awareness, you can understand. Otherwise, you are all caught in the thought. Then you hardly aware, because you are not sensitive to what is inside. That's why you cannot feel your heartbeat. You cannot feel all the vibration. And you cannot know what is inside. So you become what? Puttujana, heedless. You only use your senses, create thought and use thought rampantly until you overuse it. Okay, good. Pass to Tay. Red Tay got something.
Brother Tay, we have taught us about that four things. Relax, aware, and then try to stabilize it throughout 24 hours. Now, when you sleep, you just relax and be aware. Now, you have also mentioned that sometimes, when this thing happens while asleep, we are aware. And sometimes, like you say, you had a dream, right? And of course, how do we differentiate if this thing
happens? That one is different. That one you're fully aware. Then the subconscious dream that come out, or whatever that people send to you, the message, it will arise. Then when you arrive, you're fully aware. Because that is a consciousness. The subconscious release of people sending message, that is the byproduct. That is the five aggregate. Okay. But the nature is aware is different. But the awareness is always there. That's why when you are aware inside, even the body rests, and actually most people will have gone into the unconscious. But because you are conscious, you are aware. Then whatever your brain want to release as a subconscious release, the subconscious fear, how it create that type of dream, the awareness can see you, understand? That's why you are fully aware of what this movement is. Then because that time I was already so mindful, there is very little or random of this balance of like thought process. I don't have subconscious release anymore by the time I can go in. Then I realize, when you want to know something, that thought arises. When you want to know something, thought arises. Then when I don't want to know something, I just silent aware. Because the senses is there. Especially when the snoring. Then you aware of that one. Then of course, after you aware, you inside like. That's why awareness can hear that snoring. But normally you sleep, you're unconscious, you cannot hear it. Then how the body rests, you can feel you know, the awareness. But because every time when you feel, when you want to relate, the thought come out, understand? The words come out, understand? But it's not a spoken one, understand? It's through the mind that, no. Then, as this one, very little, like that, no. Most of the time it's like still, silent. Then when I come out, that last thought, it's like I didn't sleep. I wake up like that. My eye open, continue from that. Whatever the thought that is inside during meditation, the last thought, I continue from there. Or the awareness, I continue. Like I didn't sleep. That is 24 hours. Non-stop. Fully aware inside. Because little or no sankara.
Because this, let's say, as if they are dreams like that.
But or that one is your subconscious release.
Subconscious release.
Because your brain want to find order, understand?
Okay.
It was in disorder because you accumulate a lot of things. That's why I say you don't release through your dream. Because only during dream you don't think, understand? Then the nature can heal you, repair you, understand? That's why at night, when you sleep, this one come out, understand? I think Chinese medicine also, they got this what they call like a clock time, understand? Nature's energy will go to your various organ to heal you, understand? You read about it, isn't it? What time at which organ? What time at which organ? That is nature's energy, you know, from your life force. No? This one intelligent one. This one will go. Understand? All your emotion, everything, it will release. Understand? When it's there, like it heal your liver. Understand? That's why you don't enough sleep. During the time you don't sleep, you overwork the liver, you get liver cancer. Understand? Then you overwork your body, you get various problems. Understand? So the nature's clock, it has the nature's energy, which is very good. That's why that is healing, that maintains your health. But human beings don't understand. Not enough rest. Understand? And you overuse it. That's why you have problem. But the Buddha, out of love and compassion, also have to use it. That's why he not enough rest. That's why he died at the age of 80. The disciple, quite a number, 120. Where got 40 years different? You mean Buddha don't know how to live? Understand? But out of love and compassion, he hardly sleep. He got not enough rest. That's why he told Ananda, at the age of 80, about to die, parinibbana, that time, 90 days. Ananda was so sad. Then Ananda asked him to extend his life. He said, don't have to do that. Do you know what is it now? This body is like a worn-out blockade now. You know what is a worn-out blockade? Means use until any time also break down already. You know? You somehow want the Buddha to carry this. What I have teached is now, we say 45 years. Remember?
Isn't it Ananda and the Buddha was of the same age?
No. Ananda lived until 120.
No, I mean same age at that time.
Oh, they were cousins. Quite similar age. They were cousins. Ananda, Anuruddha, this Devadatta, they are all cousins. So you ask yourself, how can Buddha, perfect in wisdom and virtue, 80-year-old pass away. Sariputta also pass away very early. Moggallana also pass away very early before the Buddha. You realize that? Why? Sariputta be a coming, psychic, and set the condition for people to want to kill him because they jealous. Then he got past coming. Moggallana. His parents, there was one lie, blind. Oh, then he and the wife plot and pretend to be robber and kill their own parents. That's why he kena that life. Really, really karmic. Very, very serious. All this, you know, during that time, the Buddha's time, you listen, this one regular. But during the Buddha's time, the Buddha very famous, you know why? Because Moggallana, he got psychic, understand? Then you know what he said? All those other religions, he said, oh, my this disciple pass away, he is already in the what they call like Nibbana like that, enlightened. Moggallana check. No, he's in hell. Then people say, wow, like that, oh, I don't want to go to the Buddha. So all the religious teachers find that a lot of followers go to the Buddha. Then you know what they do? They have to do something like that. If you want to bring down the Buddha, you must bring down Moggallana. Correct? There is this karmic condition behind. Understand? He killed his parents when they are blind. And that is heavy karma. That's why Arahant also cannot escape. So what happened? They send people, they don't want to be detected. like normal gangster and all those things, or people assigned to kill. Mongalana knew, for 6 times he used his psychic power to disappear. Then he said, how come like that? Something wrong, he said. Cannot be like that. Oh, then he checked. Past life he killed his own parent. Then he knew. He had to accept that. Then the 7th time, they smashed him out. They clobbered him until the whole physical body are like completely gone. And you know what he did? Because he got psychic. He put them back. Not really together. He tried to use this body, then use his psychic and go to the Buddha and tell him, I have to take this karma and I will be leaving soon. Is it? Then the Buddha knew. The Buddha said, before you come, I already knew. You had that past. So that's how karma is like that. And so then Sariputta, I think, the mandir, you know the mandir, eat a lot of this egg, fish fry. The fish fry. Fish egg. Fish fry or fish egg. But Sariputta, because he's so wise, all the devas come to him. Then last night the mother don't believe Sariputta. He thought his son, no psychic, nothing on her. All the other monks so famous, but his son, no psychic, nothing on. So the wife actually didn't pay respect to him. Then when Sariputta was about to die, he wants to benefit the mother. Then he stayed in the house. Then somehow, I think the deva must have helped him, because Sariputta don't have psychic on. The mother heard a lot of sound inside, like a lot of people coming and going. Then somehow the mother, that night, can see, Then he see, all those devas are very bright light, and all the powerful devas all pay respect to the son, then he start to realize that the son is really somebody. That's why the next day he went in and pay respect. So, a lot of this type of story, the one that no magic one, people externally look at you, you got no magic one. Then they think you bully our one. In English is what? Not impressive. But bully our one. Liao. No substance. Bully our one. No substance. Hokkien very easy. Bully our one. Because you cannot see Kung Fu. So, a lot of this Jataka story during the Buddha's time, you will come to understand how the law of karma operates. Even Arahant, you cannot free. You got no more new karma, you got no more suffering. Because you already enlightened, free. No delusion, no avijja. But whatever of the past, if it's heavy karma, you cannot run. The condition will be there, it will hit. Okay? No, he knows he's about time to die. Because the DNA is like that. Supposed to live so long. He didn't kena clobbering. Because he got no psychic. You finished, brother? Okay, thank you so much. We have to end. You go for your lunch.
No, actually, what I'm trying to ask is that because sometimes, let's say, when we sleep and when we are about to wake up and then we seem to have a dream, this dream can be either our subconscious, no release or what, or it
correct.
Can
sometimes
be
a message. Message.
So how do we know the difference?
Oh, you will know one. You will know one. When you have awareness, you will know one. But if you don't have awareness, you groggy. You wake up also, you cannot remember the dream. Or you remember also bits and pieces, like not connected. Because you are not aware. When you are aware, you know the whole thing. And then your subconscious release is different. I got no more subconscious release that time. Then this message come, very clear one. The dream inside got color one. Very beautiful, very bright, very real one. It's not like the normal one. It's not a normal dream. This one, the state of that message, the consciousness is very pure one. Then it come in, you know one. That's all this, you will understand. You only need to have very, very stable daily mindfulness. Then that sati stabilizes it until you can, more or less throughout the day, aware. Then you sure become enlightened. you will have a lot of insight. That everything like easily understood, easily understood. The Dhamma keep on unfolding. Everything you experience and see, you see the Dhamma there. Yeah, the characteristics is all there. Understand? Okay, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we just do the homage. Arahang, then you go for lunch. Then 1:30, we meet again. Okay. Arahang sabma sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang avivadimi swakato bhagavata dhammo dhamma namasami supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Thank you.